Hi, I'm Andrea Loyan, Vermont Edition producer, and I just wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. On April 1st, Vermont's largest city will undergo a major transition. Mayor Moreau Weinberger, a Democrat who's served for the past 12 years, will step down. Progressive State Representative Emma Mulvaney-Stanek will become the first woman and openly queer person to serve as the city's mayor. I recently spoke with Mayor Weinberger about his reflections on his tenure. We discussed some of the biggest challenges the city faces, from the drug crisis to affordable housing. We talked about his proudest achievements and some of his regrets, as well as what he might do next. Our conversation starts with the mayor reflecting on what he is most proud of from his time in office.
You know, Michaela, I've been thinking about that question some, and reflecting on that reminds me literally the first house party that we had way back in 2011 when I was running for mayor for the first time. I kind of got asked a version of that question. I said, how do you want to be remembered when you're done with this? I don't, you know, none of us knew it'd be 12 years later when I'd be done. What I said at the time was I hope to be remembered as someone who came into office at a challenging time for the community and helped us navigate through the crisis and get to a better place. You know, what I was talking about, of course, back in 2011 was the financial crisis that we faced when I first came into office. But what I didn't know is we would end up facing so many crises after that, whether it was the crisis of the Trump administration or whether it was the first global pandemic in 100 years, and then the economic crisis that followed that, or the homelessness crisis and policing challenges that we have faced in recent years. I still think the answer at the end of this is, though, the same. I am grateful that I had the opportunity to serve in this role, and that working with an incredible team of department heads, the city council, and really in many ways the people of Burlington, we were able to navigate challenge after challenge and come out of the other side of that in many ways stronger than when we started.
Well, you brought up homelessness. I'd like to dive into that topic a bit more with you, Mayor. As many folks in Burlington know, state officials' recent attempt to wind down part of the emergency motel housing program left hundreds of people yet again without housing. And it led to a pretty last minute setup of 4 different temporary shelters around the state, including in Burlington. Are shelters like the one that has been operating on Cherry Street part of a long-term solution?
They absolutely are, Michaela, and we have to reckon with that, I think, as a state. We are now the state with the second highest homelessness rate of any state in the country. It's been that way for the last couple of years. It's going to be a while until we get to a place where there's enough permanent housing to properly house everybody. We are making progress, but those permanent homes are years away. We have a choice right now. Either we need to acknowledge that we have a problem with homelessness and unsheltered homelessness and dramatically expand our shelter system, or we are going to continue to see what we've seen the last couple of summers, which is around the state, people sleeping outside in tents, in public areas. The right answer is expanding our shelter capacity. We've done that here in Burlington since 2020. We've created 3 new emergency shelters, but it's not enough, and it shouldn't be Burlington alone that is responding to this homelessness crisis. We need the state to step up and expand shelter capacity as well.
Well, yeah, let's talk about some of the longer term fixes to the affordable housing shortage in Burlington. Now, if anybody drives through or walks through the city right now, they will see cranes working on the building at City Place.
I love that. I got to say, I think that's a sign of a healthy, thriving city is when you do see cranes and construction happening. And so, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just need to voice my enthusiasm.
Yeah, so it's going to bring hundreds of apartments, many of them affordable, into the city. Construction's going strong, but the Pit still looms in the memories of many Burlingtonians. There was a big empty Pit in the middle of the city for many years there, and some of your critics say, why do you take so long for this project to get underway? How do you respond to that?
Development projects are hard, challenging. You're dealing with always uncertainty and unpredictability and factors that are outside of completely the project's control. And we knew that when we started this, and we actually negotiated very protective agreements for the city such that those delays that you mentioned never hit the taxpayers. The city was financially protected. One thing that I do, if I had the 12 years to do over, Michaela, if I had this project to do over, I would have talked more at the beginning about the uncertainty and the unpredictability of development projects and the possibility of delays and setbacks. And, you know, I prepared for that, and we negotiated very protective agreements, but we didn't have as much upfront communication about that. And I think it did surprise and upset the community when we encountered those delays. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is, you know, the tallest building in the state of Vermont is now standing there. And that is a symbol of the amount of economic activity and the amount of revenue that it is going to generate in the years ahead.
Let's look at the struggles that Burlington, as well as many cities around the state and the country, are having with the rise in opioid overdoses, fentanyl, with open air drug dealing and drug related crime. First, what's a strategy that you think the city is undertaking right now that started during your administration that you think is working or holds promise that you'd really like to see continue in the future?
We created this monthly working group that we call Community Stat that has all of the kind of decision makers working on this problem one way or another, whether people in the treatment centers or at the hospital or prosecutors, defense attorneys. We sit at this table and we try to look at the data and make changes in real time. Some of the changes that came out of that, for example, were the hospital changed its prescribing practices. Today, they prescribe about 70% fewer opioids by some measures than they did when that review began. When we started this work, there had been a chronic waiting list for treatment for many years. We were able to do away with that waiting list in just 6 months after this group started meeting. And to this day, there's still no waiting list for treatment in Chittenden County. For a couple of years there, Michaela, in 2018 and 2019, it appeared that those changes and some of the others that had come out of that period were working. And we actually saw opioid deaths, overdose deaths drop by 50%. It has been the most heartbreaking setback of my time in office to go from there in 2019 to where we are today in 2024, which is that the problem is essentially worse than ever. Basically, three times the amount of death taking place in Chittenden County as we had before the pandemic. Over the course of 22 and 2023, we did launch many new initiatives, some of which we have some hope are succeeding. So we have a new effort by the fire department to go out and proactively engage people who are on the streets and provide naloxone and wound kits and referrals to treatment. That we call this the community response team. We have redoubled our interdiction efforts, trying to cut down the trafficking from other major cities on the East Coast. We have tried new treatment efforts, such as supporting using city funds to support the Vermonters for Criminal Justice Reform effort in downtown. At the end of all that, I am hopeful, encouraged to be leaving office, being able to say for the last 6 months, we actually have seen a dramatic drop in public safety responses to overdoses. It is my hope that we have seen the crest of this crisis and can now see the numbers moving in the right direction again. But there's no doubt that a lot more work needs to be done.
Over the course of your tenure as mayor, there has been periods of some major tension around law enforcement, policing, the appointment of current police chief John Murad, including the vote by the city council in 2020 to reduce the size of the police force. Is there anything that you would have done differently as mayor when it comes to law enforcement in the city?
Okay, I'm proud of my record on law enforcement. I'm proud of the fact that in my time here, we transformed the police department in many ways. We dramatically expanded accountability measures like, you know, Burlington on my watch became one of the first police departments in New England where all officers had body cameras deployed. We over the last 12 years have moved enormously in the direction of transparency. And we have a transparency portal. The Burlington Police Department really leads the way in making metrics and statistics about policing this community available for scrutiny and analysis. And that's why part of why you see them in the news so much is because we put our work out there to be reviewed. But I'm also proud of some of the things you pointed out there as controversial. I believe sometimes as mayor, the way to do this job is to take strong stands, is to go directly at the challenges we face. And, you know, I did that in 2020. I knew that resolution was a mistake as soon as I saw it the Friday before the vote. Good policing requires more resources. And I thought it was a mistake to try to cut spending and reallocate it to other areas. And I said that at the time. Chief Morrison and Chief Murad joined me in opposing that. What do I regret? I regret that we didn't win that debate and that it took me 18 months to get that decision reversed, which was far longer than I ever imagined it would take. But I did ultimately get it reversed. I did get a permanent police chief appointed, which is critical. I did, both through a veto and by leading a public campaign, stop a unprecedented and I believe destructive, overzealous community policing charter change. And I really think what was hanging in the balance in all those decisions was whether or not we were going to continue to have a police department.
Well, let's, before we let you go, I do want to look to the future. Now, in the mayoral race, you endorsed fellow Democrat Joan Shannon. She did not win. Now you're passing the baton to progressive Emma Mulvaney-Stanek. How is your administration working with Mulvaney-Stanek on this transition?
The night that Emma Mulvaney-Stanek was elected, I called her and congratulated her and offered our full assistance during this transition. We created a budget, I think for the first time, for the transition team to have so that they could have some employees during this transition period and cover routine expenses. I've met a couple times now with the mayor-elect and plan to meet a couple more times. And we are reviewing what is going on in every department. We are reviewing the major agreements that are in place and really doing everything that I can think of to help ensure her success. We do have partisan elections here in Burlington. We like our politics, I think, and it's a healthy, great part about living in this city is that people care about local government so much. One of the things I've always appreciated about it is when we get to the other side of the elections, we work together to try to get big things done for the people of Burlington. I absolutely want Emma Mulvaney-Stanek to succeed in this role, and anything I can do to help her succeed, I will do.
And lastly, Mayor, you haven't made any announcements about what you're going to be doing next, if you're going to be running for a higher office. You know, Phil Scott has yet to announce his plans to run for governor. Are you watching that decision? Does his decision affect yours on what you're going to do next?
So, Mikhail, here's what I can say. As I just said to you, I'm very focused right now on getting a bunch of things done before April 1st and supporting the mayor-elect as best I can. After April 1st, I'll be sitting down with my wife, my daughters, and we will be figuring out what's next. And I truly don't know what that is going to be now. What I will say, though, is I am excited for the community. I'm excited for the city. I think it is an exciting time to have a new team coming in, to have Burlington's first woman, first openly queer person serving in this role. And I'm excited for whatever lies ahead for me. I don't know what it's going to be at this point, but it is, you know, for the first time in 12 years, I am thinking about new things, establishing new goals, talking to new people, and I'm looking forward to what's ahead.
That was Burlington Mayor Moreau Weinberger. Emma Mulvaney-Stanek will step into the mayoral seat on April 1st.